Yay!
Okay, we are here. We are back again for episode 8. We deleted the other episode 8. I did, like half of it by accident.
Yeah.
So
this is the redo. Episode 8 remixed.
R-E-D-U-X.
Yes. Okay. I like it.
Hot digs.
Where are you right now? Because you're calling from all over the place.
Now I'm at the same place. I'm at the Hummingbird Nest Ranch, which is a big hacienda house that people have weddings, and it's 100-something acres, and it's very beautiful in Simi Valley.
Okay, cool. Good old Simi. So this is the Last Man on Earth set, right?
Yes, it is.
That's fun.
It's a recurring location, and it's a beautiful little house. It's a nice place to be stuck at, except... why do I always have to accept it? Why can't I just say... It's a nice place without a caveat or a but. Have you noticed that, like, maybe there are people that approach life with a, everything's good, but you never know when it's going to go shitty, you know?
It's all right. You don't
like,
want
how
be,
do you approach life?
You don't want to be too optimistic about things, too sunshiny.
No, I don't.
I think your industry especially is very cynical, funny, right? Like, Hollywood, disgruntled actors, and I don't know, how does it feel on a day-to-day basis? What is the main attitude?
Disgruntled. Yeah. No, I think that a lot of people in different areas are happier than others.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot of it's just personality. If you got a good job, then people are usually happy if they're in an area that they like. If they signed up to be a camera person and they're a camera person, then, but, generally speaking, the hours are crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone should humanly work these hours.
Right. Explain your hours. Because this, as your big sister / agent, not an agent, but I feel like I should be, and represent you. I'm mad.
An agent of love.
Yeah. I don't like how they treat you guys. But yeah, explain what a typical day is like.
Well, most people get overtime. And that's why they get hooked into it, because after 12 hours, you start to go into time and a half, and then after 16, you go into double time. And that's where you make all the money, because a lot of movies especially, it seems, a lot of feature films tend to go, you know, 15, 16 hours and start coming home with these big paychecks, and you get addicted to the life of the paycheck. But we're on a flat rate in the location department, so you get paid for 12 hours regardless of how many hours you work. Okay. Which can be really bad if it's 16 hours.
Yeah.
And it could be really great if it's only 8 hours, which sometimes it is, because you're maybe out location scouting and it doesn't necessarily have to be 12 hours.
Right.
But,
okay. Poor thing. So everyone else gets overtime, but you don't. That's not fair.
Wait.
How come?
I think it was a bad deal that some people like it if they, some location managers or people with more control can go in for 4 hours and go home, and they don't want the hourly rate to be instilled.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word for it?
I guess. Yeah.
Executed.
Yeah.
But then all the, you know, the ones who were just starting out, they throw them on a film set and work them 18-hour days, and it's kind of a weird hidden thing that nobody really complains about it. I had a friend who was a location guy, and he had been working 18-hour days back-to-back on a movie, and he called the Teamsters Union.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I'm going to get killed, by the way, if anyone listens to this. And you're talking shit about the Teamsters.
Uh-oh.
He's the mafia.
Mm.
But he said, hey, I'm only getting paid for 12 hours, and I'm working 18-hour days, and this is, I'm not sleeping, and what do I do? Who can I report this to? They said, well, you can report it, but just going to let you know, you're probably not going to work again. You could red flag it, but they're going to know it's you, and, you know, you might kill your career. So he didn't report it.
Oh, my gosh. So there's no way to, like, take care of yourself, to self-regulate and get some rules going, unless it's, like, a union thing, probably, right?
Well, it is a union thing, but nobody, I mean, it's like, you just, the movie business has a lot of loopholes. It's like, just doesn't always abide by, but I think it's all about finding good bosses that don't do that to you,
right.
Which is possible.
Right.
Like now I work with people who are very conscientious of time, and they,
good.
And a lot of times you do just get screwed because they go, sorry, we can't find anyone, and it's going to be a long one. And they try to make it up by maybe giving you a short one the next day. If they're nice bosses, it always works out.
Right. Okay. Wow.
But, I know. Is this...
Poor weens. No, I feel bad. What's the craziest thing you've done for a job? I mean, because it must feel like, wow, I'm so lucky to be in the industry. I have to do this crazy thing. Is it, like, have you ever had any close calls with doing unscrupulous things to keep the job, or no?
Signed contract. I shouldn't say anything right now because...
Ooh!
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about this anymore. See, we get to this point where we don't want to, like, everything, nobody's going to want to listen to this. Everything's anonymous. We get to something juicy, and we don't want to say anything.
I know.
And then,
I know.
It's like,
all right, well, let's...
I was talking to my friend Blake about this today, yeah. And he's like, what is the point of doing this if you're always editing everything?
Well...
But then I don't want to even say that right now, because now we sound negative.
No,
I'm just mad because
I
have to go
I'm
into
I'm sorry,
the office
it's,
right now.
This is me because... This is one of those things that you write your memoir book and then it's out there in the world forever and ever, and then your children will read it. So they're going to know about all your stories, and then their kids are going to read it. It's like the mom who poses in Playboy, and then the kid finally hits high school and all the friends find out, oh, your mom is in Playboy, and then you're forever the kid who's...
But you're not doing that anymore, so that's good.
Can you imagine me in Playboy? Oh, my God.
You'd get nervous. You'd have little diarrhea splats.
Yeah.
Cause you'd be,
my little knock
my metronome's going off. Hold on.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I would have been a skinny, knock-kneed, flat-butted, post-high school twerple. No, I was very awkward. I finally filled out.
Twerple.
But I was a pretty awkward man. I look back at my high school basketball films. You know, Dad was always, like, taping us and... Just skin and bones and bouncing around and tall and elbows and oy, oy, oy.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, remember when you said that you had your agent in New York that made you go on the...
Abbott Bloomberg.
Made you go on the bathing suit audition? Dad, for half a second, decided I should try modeling. And I had to go on an audition, too, in a bathing suit. Did you know that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
And it was right when Got Milk became big, and there was a huge billboard in like the Bay Area that which showed a girl like holding a glass of milk, and it was just from like her upper belly down to her thighs, so it just showed a close-up of your belly button, bikini bottoms, and then it cut off at your thighs. And so it was
Ew.
It was that was the ad that I was like going for, and they had to take pictures of me standing there in a bathing suit. And I had weird tan lines, and I have no waistline. I just look like a tree trunk going straight down. I have no hips. And
but what is the got milk part?
Yeah, I don't
know.
What
does that have to do with
milk? I guess you have a flat stomach if you drink a lot of milk. You
That's not true.
Can wear a nice bathing suit if you drink cow's milk. I don't know.
False advertising.
Yeah. And it was just so weird and awkward and I'm like, I don't want to be a model. This is what it's all about. But same thing. I was sitting in this audition room with all these like curvy, tanned California girls, and there I was, the little mouse.
Oh my gosh.
Thick waist.
That's so funny.
Word. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's weird. I don't like any of that. It feels sometimes like pouring yourself away.
I know. I don't know how people do it. How they stick in the industry for this long. Unless, I guess, they've just got that thing that they can do.
Well, this is what I think that there is the whole side. Like, I went to acting school. I went and I thought it looked really fun on set to be an actor and all the schlepping equipment for 20-hour days. And when we're just starting out, you literally... Sometimes we were working 18 to 20 hour days because it was non-union. There was no regulation at all. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, oh, that looks like fun. The people that are laughing and look clean and came in late and are leaving early.
You get to stand around a little bit more and hang out.
Yeah. So probably is appealing to the people who don't want to like schluff it
right.
in life. And it also seems, I don't know, but how many what's the narcissism factor versus the art factor of really wanting to do
it? Right.
Because it expresses your soul. Because there's a lot of freaking narcissists.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad drivers. Get your honk out of the way, bro. God.
Here she is, folks.
Just like...
Queens on the road.
He's got his big trunk of his car, whatever it's called, the front end, sitting in the middle of the lane.
Well,
sorry, but you know. They're coming out of the CVS. God. Anyway.
Do you remember one of our uncles that used to have a box of sayings on pieces of cardboard that he would hold up in his window?
Who, Uncle Bill?
Yeah, when he would drive by. Did you know this? He had a styrofoam cooler of these squares in his car, like in his passenger seat, and they had all these different phrases on them, like "Get out of the way" or "Hey baby, what's your number?" And he would drive by, like when he was just driving around town, and he'd see a cute girl, and he'd find the "Hey baby, what's your number" sign, and he'd hold it up in his window.
Oh boy!
And then he'd road rage. With text, he would drive up to people and hold up that.
All right, let me just circle back to, we could bring this conversation circling to the bikinis and also to...
narcissism.
What was the other one? Narcissism. And also to something else that I just forgot because there's a weird... Move it, rump.
Yeah, get out your sign. Get out your Uncle Bill sign. Move it, rump. Can that be placard number 12?
So Uncle Bill one time, when I was 15, was in the kitchen of our house, and he pulled out a G-string, cheetah print, G-string, and said, "Do you know what this is?"
I was like, "Were you by yourself? Was this
weird... in the kitchen?"
How old were you?
Weird uncle, I don't know, 14, 15, something
okay.
like that. And he showed me his cheetah G-string and said that he was doing bachelor parties.
It was in his pocket or he was wearing it?
In the pocket.
Okay, so nothing was G-string.
No.
It was an empty G-string.
No!
Okay, good.
It was an empty...
Oh my God.
Uncle Jim and the twins were not in the G-string.
No silky hamsters.
No silky hamsters. It was all just empty balls.
Oh.
But
wait, so what was he doing with the G-string? He was dancing? Stripping?
He was stripping for bachelorette parties, and he wanted to pull it out and show me secretly.
No.
In the
kitchen.
This is Uncle Bill.
Aww.
And he's no longer with us, but it was a little weird. He was always the... Oh, yeah. And Don Johnson. That was my other full circle. He one time asked me if he can... I was working on Nash Bridges up in San Francisco, and he said, "Hey, do you think you can get me on the set? I'd love to be a background person and meet Don Johnson, one of my heroes." So his two heroes were Don Johnson and Clint Eastwood. And one time I was dating Fisherman Dave and brought him to a family meal, which was Bridges in Danville.
Oh, yes.
Where they filmed Mrs. Doubtfire. And we were there for some family... It might have been your graduation or something. But we all went there, and for some reason, he was sitting next to my guy, Fisherman Dave. Bill was. And Bill somehow, said, "Hey, hey," and, elbowed him. And poor Fisherman Dave. He was all nervous. It's the first time he's met the family. And everything. And he was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Hey, you like Clint Eastwood?" He's like, yeah, Clint's cool guy. Hang him high," or whatever. And he's like, hey, okay, what about this? "You're gonna die now, punk." And then Dave's like, Fisherman Dave's like, yeah, pretty good there. Yeah, sounds good.
My God.
And he was like, and then he went back to trying to converse with my mom, your mom too.
Oh.
And then Bill would elbow, hey, what do you think of that?
You do lines, just doing impressions.
And just lines the whole dinner. I just kept, I know.
This is,
Is it okay to make fun of people who are dead?
It's not a dead, not dead thing. That's making fun of someone who had no social graces. Who would show their 14-year-old niece their G-string and tell them how they strip? That's just wrong. Go for it. Just
okay, good, because I want to rip people.
All the stories you want. That's weird. I'm sorry.
I think I'm perimenopausal.
Ah.
At 30 years old.
Hear that, boys? All the single men
come
out
and
there.
Get it. Single with the cat and perimenopausal. That's the beginning song. I don't know. Who cares? I don't want to qualify any of it. Sometimes I just get pissed off.
Yeah.
I'm angry at men. I'm angry at life. I'm just angry at today. Ovaries. I'm just like disgruntled. My ovaries are all dry and crusty. I'm knocking out the one last like shriveled egg that's hanging on to the urethra or whatever's in there.
The fallopian tubes. Like, little puff of air. Yeah. A little puff of dust. Poof.
Just little dust, out. You know. Aww. I gotta get someone to blow that out soon. I'm just kidding.
Well, I'm telling you, you remember my theory that without, I think your body kind of doesn't know what to do if it's not having babies or having sex or exercising. If you're not doing those
things. Good, because I just started chasing a weird minivan that had a ladder, and it sounded like a good idea to climb up the ladder while it was still moving.
What? That's your exercise?
I was driving down the street. I was like, I'm going to be like Gleam in the Cube. Remember that movie? And jump up. They would hold onto the back and the skateboards and like cruise around. I was like, yeah, I just want to jump on that thing, climb up to the top and stand on it like Teen Wolf. Fuck you, millennials. Teen Wolf was a good film. I don't know. Have you ever felt this passion when a Winnebago with a ladder drives by?
I have not. No. Does this have something to do with the perimenopause?
Perimenopausal. Has to do with my eggs that have never been fertilized. Oh. Just scrambled.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Stupid.
Shaken, not stirred. Stir my eggs. Sick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Stick them, at least like beat them a little bit.
Oh, okay. Now here we go. Wait, so I'm any sorry. More news with the dude?
Oh, no.
No. Just cut him off. That's that. All right. We can close that.
Yeah, but I do have one thing to say to him, if he's listening, if you could all just be quiet for a second. It's a little one.
Oh, it sounds like a squeaky chair. I don't know if I believe it. Oh my god.
Amplify that.
Good. Yeah. Drag that one up.
Yeah. No, I just decided that it was probably all on a very surface level fantasy site. It all happened very quickly, and it was very, like,
you and the guy,
lovey-dovey, really fast, which had no real foundation for trust and growth and bad, right. Like, all the normal things that people do when they get to know you. It's just kind of like, hi, let's both do this fantasy distraction. That's my theory.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, that or, yeah, once he got you, once he reeled you in, the chase was done, right? The hunt was over, and
possible. They say that narcissists especially do that. They call it energy something. It's not energy vampires, but they call it energy, like, suck. It's got an actual word.
Energy.
Suck it.
Suck it out of you. Take it and run.
You're like their energy chamber that keeps, once you fill them up, then they move on to someone else. And yeah. But I don't know what, you know, who cares?
Yeah. Well,
I'm just kind of over being, I felt really bad for a while when it was happening. Once I got distance, it was just like, oh, I don't want to feel that way anymore with anybody.
Wait, what do you mean? You just felt bad while it was happening? Like you were trying to make it work?
Like when we first, because we were talking every day, and mm-hmm. it just became a habit to talk every day and to really, you know, we're spending maybe 2 or 3 hours either on the messenger, text, or calling, mm-hmm. sometimes 3 or 4 hour conversations at night, you know, mm-hmm. on the phone, and so it became a daily thing. And then when he dropped off for a whole day, it was like, kind of like, where is that thing? And it,
right.
And then you're going, what is that person doing? What is he? And then it feels really gross.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he was with someone else. I just am pretty positive. And then it feels devastating for the next day. And then I went on a plane to Europe, and then I was around really cool people. And then I went, oh God.
The fog cleared. And yeah.
Well, just all the other things of, you know, this person was not particularly super nice all the time,
right.
And there's a lot of red flags, and, you know, just like, oh, I just don't want to feel like shit with any guy anymore.
Fuck
and
yeah.
And if I feel like shit, I want to be able to talk about it and get through it, and then you move on. Not gross drama, not,
You want to, you need light.
Not this.
Yeah.
But not this. Hold on.
You're going to poop yourself.
There's small whispers.
Are you driving while you're doing this? Do you move the phone?
I just pulled over at the office. I'm sitting outside. There's a security guard who just saw me lift my butt. You just saw my car went, my butt.
I always wonder if while I'm driving along and you do the like left butt cheek lean, if the person behind you knows that you're leaning.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think?
For sure.
I need to start watching Cars now and see if people do it a lot. Because, yeah,
it's the lean and the quiet. It's like a dog that just spotted a squirrel where they're just, like, quiet and still. It's like the cheek lift and the huh.
Right? Yes. Exactly. Don't you think? Totally.
Oh, people know.
Oh, my gosh. That and then the nose pick. I'm always like, oh, I dropped something down by my foot while I'm at this red light. Do the sneaky nose pick. Or
I've seen you do that a lot, by the way.
I know. I kind of go right in. You've
got a whole collection on the left side of where you drive. I've seen it a lot.
Well, I figure just kind of put it down there with the mat. The mats get cleaned. Then it's gone.
It's the side of the chair. I've seen it.
Not on the side of the chair. Oh. No, I always find a nice dark carpet spot. Or the bottom of my shoe. That's a good spot. You ever do that?
It's a good one. And it goes right into the house. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I've done.
It's a good dirty spot. Yeah. It just turns back into dirt. I'm composting.
Do you want to hear the grossest thing I've ever gotten caught for that I'm still embarrassed
Yes.
about? It's not the grossest, but it's pretty gross. I was with my friend Ross.
Ross.
When I'm with Ross, sometimes I think it was just like talk. And I just remember being, you know, he's like a brother, so you just get comfortable. And I was like sitting cross-legged in the passenger seat and I was bored. And I just decided, I was like looking at my face. It was a perfect spot in the sun, in the mirror, that I could see all the little bumps on my face. And I just started popping like weird bumps on my face. And we were sitting at the red light, and I was really going in for a few and, like, staring at him, making weird faces. And then I just looked next to me, and there's two kids who were 25 who both had their mouths. They were going, and it was the most embarrassing thing I got caught. It just was, because it was so disgusting. I would have done the same. I watched a Filipino lady on the beach popping her husband's zits on his back. And I was like, I can't get that image out of my mind. And that was me. I was the Filipino lady.
Well, this is not a new thing. Like, all these YouTube channels are coming out, like Dr. Pill Popper? Yeah. Dr. Pimple Popper and all this stuff. I keep hearing about it. I haven't seen them. I'm a little bit afraid that I might actually like it and want to see more. So
a lot of people do.
I won't even go on. No, there's whole websites and video channels dedicated to watching pimples get popped. It's a whole thing.
Well, also, it releases endorphins, so it's releasing in your own brain little pleasures.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, when you see it come out, you're like, yes.
It actually, I don't know if it's a, yeah, it's a dopamine release.
Ew. All right. That makes sense. It feels good to, like, get something gross out of your body. I'm like, glad it's out. Yay, I got it out. It's gone. I feel cleaner.
It feels like you've, yeah, it's weird. But also, even my girlfriend, who's way grosser about it, she lives in Seal Beach, and she, I mean, I don't mean she's way gross, we're all a little gross if we're into it, but in some ways, but she has an app that's a pimple popping app where you, like, can rub this pimple and it gets it all excited, and then you squeeze the phone.
Oh, come
and
on.
It pops it out.
No.
Swear to God. And she'll do it to her husband and her sister, and she'll send me pictures of what came out.
What?
And she'll describe it and be like, oh, weens. So yesterday I found one on so-and-so's back, and it did this thing, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Wait. Describe the app, then. It videos the whole thing for you?
Like, there's an app that has a zit-popping app that you can, like, get the zit all excited, and then it gets a whitehead, and then you rub it, and you, like, squeeze
it
on
your phone.
A fake one,
like a digital picture of one.
Yeah.
Gross.
She has an app.
Oh, my God. Wow.
People are
bored. Know, people need to get jobs and hobbies are productive, because that's wild. But someone's making money at that. Somebody invented this app and is sitting back just watching the dollars roll in. That's crazy.
Pop in.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gross. And people also love...
Yeah, it's gross.
Whatever. I'm in a whatever mood, man. Right? I'm just over it. I'm over everybody. I'm over this. Do you like... I don't care. There's a... Well, who cares about that guy? Like, white beard guy? But, I don't care!
Good.
Do you just have some days where you just don't give a
rip? Yes. Yeah. It's called, what is it? Day? Don't give a fuck. Oh, I could give a fuck. Okay. What is the word? No. I give zero fucks. Right. That's what all the kids are saying these days.
Guess I say to those kids.
Wait. Golly.
Oh, these are real quitters. All I had today was quitters. I just had some chips and salsa from the gas station. I was stuck next to the only thing I could eat was a gas station.
Oh.
By the way, there was a guy that went in and I knew, you know how you always just want to get in before that person because you can tell they're going to do something dumb before you?
Yeah.
And I just was 1 second too late. In the dip, he had a Hawaiian t-shirt on and shorts and like Birkenstocks. I knew something was off. And tons of cologne. And he got in before me. And then he started ordering about 10 different like scratchers. And he started scratching off.
No.
While I was waiting to buy my fucking salsa and nuts.
No.
So, can I please have the tropical dew and then with scratch?
No.
Didn't win. Can I please have the horseshoe surprise? Scratch. And I was like, oh my God! And inside.
Did you say anything? You should have said something.
I just went like, oh.
Making.
Visit, like audibly, oh.
Yeah. The side.
But
noises.
What a jerk. Do you ever feel like a jerk? I'm feeling like a jerk right now.
No, all the time. Yeah. No, just the other day. Some old lady, well, yeah, this is what it was. The family all went to the movie theater ahead of me, and I was somewhere else. So I'm like, okay, I'll meet you there. You guys buy your own tickets, find some seats. I think we went and saw Star Wars. I'll buy a ticket. I'll just come right in. So I'll find you guys. Great. So I get there. I'm like late. Like the movie's starting. I know it's starting. I run up to the window. Little old lady and her like little old buddy, they must have been having a wild night out at 5 o'clock, go up to the window. And I love old people, you know. I used to, like, volunteer and do their shopping, and, like, I think their stories are so neat. So, like, I usually have tons of patience, but, you know, I was in a hurry. She was asking, well, first of all, the girl behind the window said, would you like to be part of our frequent flyer program? You know, whatever the movie theater offers. And, oh, no, dear, explain that to me. Well,
oh, boy.
If you...
You already got me at that.
This is a movie theater. People have times and tickets. Like, they should move it along. You shouldn't be offering honor programs and clubs. And then the woman had to... She go, okay, well, if you don't want to do that, then your ticket price is, you know, $7.76. Oh, $7.76? Now, that's a funny number. Why the 76?
Whoa,
just, boy. I mean, let's just chat, kids. I'm sitting behind her just going, ah, jeez, come on. I mean, lost it. I was like, and she was just none the wiser. Everybody was just moseying along.
But then what's wrong with that? I mean, I sometimes do question why I can't just relax. I've had people go, just settle down. Like, it's okay.
I know. But knowing I was missing
the
movie.
I got back to sitting in my car on the job.
I didn't want to miss the movie. I was so close.
Well, that is more justifiable.
That one. But the scratching at the counter, now that's not okay. Did you read him the poem? Lotto, Lotto.
What was that poem? Why don't you explain
Remember?
It?
I forget how it goes, though.
You can explain it.
I don't remember, really.
Lotto, Lotto, be my gatto.
Yeah. How? I was wearing a shirt of Lotto, right, which was like the soccer company. And were we in TJ or something? Tijuana?
Tijuana.
Mexico?
Mm-hmm.
And eating? Were we at a eatery? And some guy...
Drinking beer.
Just came over and started, like, spewing a poem, right? Lotto.
There's a Mexican guy that said, Lotto, Lotto, be my gato. That's very random.
See, there you go. Still got
then,
it, folks.
Oh, boy. Just gotta wear that shirt and go to Mexico. Yeah, you got a couple, you've got some weird poetry. I have a friend named Chris who had a friend named, I can't
Bill
remember.
Tuesday. Sorry.
And he had a house in Malibu. His parents owned this fancy, weird equestrian. But there were no horses. There was just, like, it was all desolate.
It reminded me of what, like, well, here we go again. The Charles Manson Ranch might have been back in the...
Yeah.
In the, what was it? Up in...
It's like a big 70s
Malibu,
ranch
like,
that,
up in the hills over Malibu. Yeah. Yeah.
It was, like, on a huge, steep hill. I remember it was weird getting up there.
Mm-hmm. No lights
and
at night.
His parents must have been rich,
because
it was at one point, like, tons of land up there, and
And actually, Chris said that he was. He came from a wealthy family. But it was like their weird Kurt Cobain son that kind of didn't quite do much, but I think he was acting. But probably had money, like trust funds, so he didn't really have motivation to... Just remember him sitting around a lot and talking slowly. Somehow,
he's probably stoned. And didn't he kind of look like Jesus, too? He's like dreadlock Jesus. Or am I not remembering the right person?
Yeah, yeah, something like that. He was, you know, dirty.
Dirty but tan.
Surfer was like, but one of those. Yeah, like surfy mountain Jesus dreadlock. You know, one of those. By the way, I just got reamed from my friend Blake for categorizing and putting people in boxes all the time.
Oh.
I was trying to explain my other friend, and he said, why is she so weird? She will remain nameless, but I go, well, I've met her parents, and they're kind of like granola hippie quiet types. and then later he chastised me for putting everyone in a box, but I don't. How else am I supposed to portray?
Oh,
you know how I want to portray it? Hold on. Wait 1 second. How do I portray it?
Jesus, I can't hear anything. I hope it's coming up better on your phone.
Well, I hope that everyone hears it, and it's just, it's like a...
We call her Flaps. Her other nickname besides Weens is Flaps. And you'll just hear these barn doors just going, whop, with little stinky wisps coming out, little curly lines, whap.
I'm single. I'm a Scorpio. One cat, small cuz.
No, you know what? Categorize away. I think that is how you relate, especially in an auditory setting when people can't see somebody and they need to hear about, describe this person. You have to use adjectives and put them in some sort of box, right? Like... I think that's okay.
I'm just trying to describe to paint a picture in like 20 or less seconds.
Right.
How else are you going to do it? Well, they're very emotionally complex people that have probably a good side and a bad side.
Stop being PC. Like, just say it. It's okay.
They're granola hippies who like to hike a lot and are quiet. That to me sums it up and we can move on with
our
lives.
There we go. Thank you.
I'm getting angry again.
Yeah, that's okay. You know what? It's okay to not always be nice and PC. You don't have to balance out every negative thing you say with a positive. Don't worry.
Well, I used to always be so concerned about ever talking shit about anyone, and I always want to, you know, I really did that for a long time where you just don't say anything bad about anyone. And you probably, I remember catching myself, because we were kind of raised in a house that talked a lot of shit.
Were we?
Right?
I don't know. I guess. I don't remember.
I mean, our father.
I say that for everything. I don't know. Maybe. Well, I don't remember.
I don't remember. Yeah, where were you, our whole childhood? I thought I was the one with memory loss,
It's normal to have opinions about people. I don't think that we're all freaking Dalai Lama, Jesus, Buddha, and we need to always only say nice things about everyone. Great, you can aspire to be that way, but we're human, and we're, like, trying to find our way through this life, and we're trying to make friends laugh and be funny along the way, so just say what you think. It's okay.
Good, no one's I'm gonna spit also.
Judging you.
Sorry. Oh, sorry.
Mitch.
Hi. It's a security guard again. I don't know him, but...
What just happened?
Spit, and then I spit, and of course he looks at the moment where my loogie's touching the concrete. About 20 feet away from him, and he just sees it, and then instead of pointing that out, I smile and wave, even though I've never met him, and he just waved, and then I see him through the dark part of my glass, and then he just looked, he was still staring confused, and went from a big smile to just, who is that?
Oh.
And then I tucked away.
Thank
God for tinted windows.
When you listen back to this, will you just laugh at the irony of what just happened?
Why?
You were like, yeah, fuck it. Okay, I'm going to spit. And then you're like, oh, sorry.
Really? Yeah. Oh, fuck that, too. I don't care anymore.
Oh, my God. We got off track.
I don't care. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of everything.
It's okay. Don't care anymore.
Cream in a puddle.
We only have one life, and we have to, like... Be real. Be yourself.
Maybe.
Be authentic. Yeah, that's okay. Go.
But maybe, like, this, it feels better just to be like, bah! Who cares?
Good, be that way.
Instead of, like, I'm going to approach life in a way where I'm kind to everybody and I'm just, like, tiptoey. It's so much work all the time.
Yeah.
And right now I just want to fart and I'm going to spit by that security guard and...
You know what? Hold on 1 second. 1, 2, 3.
I only heard that, didn't I?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but you know what? This is disgusting. This is probably... You landed a guy with your ass. How did that happen?
I held it all in. No, I don't know. We started as friends, and so he knew all my stuff, and we broke up a few times, and he came back to me in the end. So that pros cons list must have been... the pros outweighed the cons. He jumped in.
There you go.
I'm going to walk with my little recording set up here to my car, and you guys get to go pick up my kids with me, you guys.
Oh,
all 12 of you.
We also have 3 minutes left, so.
Oh, okay.
And I have to go in and pretend that I'm working.
So we've never finished the Jesus Ranch.
So Jesus Ranch, what was that guy's name? Whatever. But yeah. You somehow came. Sometimes I lure my sister down to my weird events with my weird friends. This happens occasionally. It would happen like once every few years. Because generally speaking, I always visit you at your house with your friends at your university. And your, because I'm a little sister.
It was exciting, right? But I think your life was so exciting. That's why I went to New York and
Hollywood. Why don't you come visit more often?
Well, I have 3 kids.
All right, well, you had no excuse your whole life.
Yeah, up until then, I know. I should have come down more. Sorry. Up more.
It's up, I know. But I know you and your husband have the same attitude because he's got a younger brother and you say, well, they're the little ones. Like, they come to us.
Nah, not always. Sorry, loud car. I'm going to drive. Sorry.
I'm mad about everything.
I'm mad.
But anyway, the poetry guy, he fell in love with Mouse and decided to write her a poem. But it was really odd because we slept in sleeping bags like in the horse stables that night. I don't think we even went in the house.
That's right. What was the deal with that place?
Next to you? It had no electricity. I think he was like living at his parents' decrepit old mansion and they moved to Spain or something. It was some weird situation.
Okay.
He was like still doing auditions, trying to be an actor in LA, but couldn't afford to pay bills. So he just like slept in the remnants of horse dew and
it was very weird. I was like, ugh, something bad's going to happen tonight. I just had that, like, creepy...
Well, guess what was bad? His poetry.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how it started. This is what it was. Can I lay with you, comma, again?
Can we go back? Did he deliver? Did he write it then and there?
He gave it to me. It was some passive,
he gave it
like,
to you.
Childish way.
Okay.
Like, gave it to me, and I had to give it to you, and it was like, oh, correct. It was written on, like, a Reese's Pieces, like, fucking, or one of those, like, boxes of Rice Krispies cereals or something.
Oh, my God.
It was something janky that he cut out that I had to give to you, and, Can I lay by your side, comma, again? Can I smell your brown hair, comma, again? Can I rub next to your skin, comma, again? I'll give him a point for that one. Skin, again.
Again.
Ding, 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 ding. That's a great guy.
He's like, we have a joke in our house, the Red Hot Chili Peppers guy, runs out of words to rhyme, so he just keeps using the same words at the end of the sentences. What is beeping? Is that you?
It's the timer.
Why do I do this every time? I'm so surprised there's a timer. Sorry. So this poem did nothing, right? I never reached out why can't I remember stuff like this?
We just laugh.
I block it out.
And I feel, you know, these poor guys are putting their heart out there. They're putting their Jesus dreadlocks on the page.
If I had known he came from money, maybe I would have been a little more interested. Just kidding.
That's the Housewives of OC talking.
No.
This is the programs that you watch. I'm angry. You never came and visited me when I was growing up.
I did.
I've got one thing to say.
I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
1, 2, 3.
Weens is tooting mad. She's tooting mad and angry.
It's not quite committed to it because it's real tiny. It's as small as the thing I ate, with, which was just a bag of chips from the Chevron. So it's like these tiny, tiny chip poof farts. There's no substance to them. There's no roughage. There's no meat involved. It's just like a few salsa chips that just go... Nothing else happens. So stupid.
All right. So I hope that we educated everyone on nothing.
Yeah, exactly. We hope that you enjoyed our brain farts and butt farts right here.
This is really a whole lot. This is like a...
Well, I'm sorry that you're feeling angry and like this, but that's okay. I think it's good to go through moods and feel what you feel. Feel all of them.
I think I'm anticipating starting a television show that's it's called Ghosted, which means it shoots all at night.
And they've been cold
it's
nights.
Happening next week for 6 weeks. Oh. And it's night shoots, and you don't recover from them. And I'm years old.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They don't, do they have, like, warm places for you to go and recover?
Yeah, your own house. Oh. Let's change careers.
I'm sorry. Well, you can run away from it all and come hang out with me if you want.
What do you want to run away from? Ready? Here. Go. I'm scratching my twink, by the way. I've just been sitting here, like, scratching my twink
you
in my
really
car.
Just
with the
don't
same
care
to go over there.
I like it.
I don't care!
I like this you. I like this non-PC you. This is real. We're all like this, right? We all have these feelings, and we just, like, smile and purse our lips and squeeze our sphincters and don't say anything and don't do anything. We gotta
Guys,
let it out. This is
let out the barn doors and scratch that twink.
That's right.
Even if you're a guy, scratch it anyway.
Scratch the twink.
Let's go. Can we get off the phone?
Yes.
This fucking security guy is just staring at me. Like, what is she doing?
All right. Well, everyone.
I'm gonna shake his hand with my twink fingers. Hey, how you doing? And then I'm going to huck another loogie by his foot. I don't care! Sorry. I don't care. By the way, people scratch themselves. I didn't do it because it's a little much in front of this guy, but people scratch their twink and they smell their fingers all the time. They do.
How do you
I'm
know
just
this?
Telling you, people, because I saw a comedian talk about it on Netflix. But it's true, because people want to know what smells are happening, what juices are going, what things are happening down there in this petri dish called our vagina.
Yes, I know. It is its own little biome, though. It takes care of itself. So, like, if you're healthy...
It's like a cat. You don't really have to wash them. They just lick themselves.
Right,
clean.
I know. Yeah. Or hamsters. Beep. Tried to give her hamster a bath the other day, and
oh God, she's gonna kill it.
I know,
rat.
Like the Papa Rat, and we looked up what happens if you give a hamster a rat, and it was like, oh, they can get really
bath?
Sick. Don't ever wash them; they wash themselves. And then
you just said to give a hamster a rat.
Sorry, bath.
That would be
you
fun.
Give my hamster a rat. What would he do with it? And yeah, so anyway,
suck it.
Yeah, smell those
right.
fingers,
Everybody
wash those rats.
Suck
Let's
it.
Go. All right.
Okay.
Mouse.
Great. I'm glad we had this talk.
And weens. We are. We've done it again, weens. We've done it again. Hot
suck
cha.
It.
High five.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Check out everything.
Oh, wait. Are you gonna plug it?
Why not? Mouseandweens.com. mouseandweens@gmail.com. Everything's there. Just click around and, you know, like us and subscribe and tell your friends and stars and all that stuff. Yay.
Suck your own cornholes. Bye.
Mouse and weens and mouse and weens and mouse and weens and mouse and weens.
Interium post-production with one of my toots. Watch out.